Regular gum is boring, but Icebreaker's ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreaker's gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreaker's ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
And welcome to the Fatback Four for this Sunday night. I'm Gavin, with me I have got Kev, I have got Keith, and I have Emma. This show is brought to you by Failicon, our charity partner. We will talk about them later. Tonight is all about Sadio Mane. And look, there's so much to be said about this player. We're going to talk about him at length. And then we're going to have a little chat about Calvin Ramsey as well, who signed on the dotted line for Liverpool on a long-term contract today. Keith, I'm going to come to you first.
Gav.
All right. I have loads of stats on Sadio Mane for you. Let's read some out.
Let's read some stats.
Okay. Started off with Mets, went to Red Bull Salzburg, yeah. Southampton, Liverpool. And looks like Bayern Munich will sign Sadio Mane. 269 games for Liverpool, 120 goals, 38 assists. So that's 158 goal involvements in 269 games. just overall, Keith, on Sadio Mane, before we get into all the memories and back to front, start to finish. Sadio Mane, what does he mean to you?
Sadio Mane is one of the most important players of the Jürgen Klopp era, because what he does on the pitch, he epitomizes what Klopp wants. You know, he's got all the skill, he's an absolute machine, but he's a lovely bit of snide about him, and he's a fighter and he's a grafter. You can't really ask for much more than what we got out of Sadio Mane, and I think it's a sad day, you know, that we're talking about him leaving, but I just think, you know, we've got some great moments out of him, and we have memories. We have great memories of Sadio. We have people have been super critical of him. Look, we've all been critical of him as well at times. But overall, I think he's just been an absolute icon for this club. We say it all the time. We said it, you know, is this player a legend? Is this player a legend? Sadio Mane leaves Liverpool as a legend. He's one of our greatest ever signings, in certainly Premier League signings, but one of our greatest ever forward players. Sad to see him go, but I'm glad it's going on terms that are a little bit more palatable for the fans. You know, he's not saying that. He's gone. He wants a new challenge. He's gone out of Premier League. So be it. He's gone to a great club. He has an opportunity at a great club. We're getting a few quid from him. I just think everybody can be happy on this deal. Well, sad to see him go. There has to come a time when players do move on, you know, and we've got the best of Sadio Mane, in my opinion. And it's just the way it's playing out. It's the first major Klopp player that's leaving. You know what I mean? Like, people can say, you know, Chan and Genie left on Fraser, and, you know, other players have come and gone. Divock has just recently gone, but he wasn't a mainstay. And Sadio is a mainstay. He's one of our greats, and he's moving on. Like I said, he's going on good terms, and I'm glad about that. And not frustrated, but sad to see him go. And hopefully we can move on with him, because that's what football's all about. Do you know what I mean? He moves on, good for him, but we move on. No player's bigger than the club, and I'm just glad that it's all being done in a sort of a friendly enough way.
Yeah, like, Emma, I'll come to you. Honours for Liverpool, 2019 Premier League Golden Boot, Champions League 2019, European Super Cup 2019, FIFA Club World Cup in 19, 2019 African Player of the Year, Premier League 19-20, AFCON 2022, AFCON Player of the Tournament 2022, League Cup 2022, FA Cup 2022. Like, it's 6 years and he's just won it all. Just like Emmett. And, you know, people will say, oh, you know, he's only 30, we should give him, like, there's an argument there that you should give him a contract. But then again, when it comes down to what the money is, we don't know. We don't know the ins and outs of it. You will hear stuff like he wants a different challenge, which is absolutely fine. But Emma, like, when you look at the honours he's won at Liverpool, you can argue whether you'd like to see him stay, or the club should do more to keep him staying. But overall, when you look at what he's done at Liverpool and what he's achieved at Liverpool, you have to, if he's going to go, he goes with, it has to be everyone's blessing. He's just been so good for Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, look, and Keith kind of said as well, the type of player that he was, he always left, he never kind of came off the pitch without giving 110%.
Yeah.
And yeah, he owes us absolutely nothing. I mean, we've essentially got our money back from him and got probably the six best years of his career out of him. So I hope it is a case that he wanted a different challenge. I'd hate to think, and it's something that I thought about over the last few days, is like, why would you, and you hear a lot of pundits say, why would you want to leave Liverpool? And you just hope that it wasn't there, because there has been an awful lot of love and an awful lot of paper pages and social media posts written about Salah has to sign a new contract, but no one was ever seemed to be too pushed about Sadio. And I just hope that he didn't kind of feel left out and not loved, because there was a stage maybe 2 years ago, if you asked Liverpool fans who would you sell and who would you keep, it would be sell Salah, keep Sadio. And even this season, based off what you saw at the start of the season, it would be keep Salah, sell Mane. But then the end of the season, he was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But no, look, he owes us absolutely nothing. On that stat that you said, the Golden Boot in 2019, I know everybody hates when people say this. I mean, he shared it with Salah and Aubameyang. But out of the three of them, he was the only one that didn't involve penalties. I know you still have to score penalties, but they're on a plea. So realistically, he was the winner of that Golden Boot. But yeah, look, he's going to be, he's like our generation's John Barnes or Ian Rush, one of those. He will go down as a John Barnes or an Ian Rush to a certain generation. We've been lucky enough to see them all. But my little lad's good when I told him. Absolutely good. He absolutely loves him. He is a club legend. I think the word legend is bandied about a little bit too much these days, but there was nothing else for him to do. He's part of the squad that brought the first Premier League title or the first league title in 30 years. I think they all should be legends. And obviously, Sadio played a massive part in that as well. I mean, I was just a little bit sad. 90 goals, you would have liked him to see to get the 100. He is a kind of a 100-goal player. And the other downside as well,
Premier League was.
Premier League was 90, in terms of not getting kind of that farewell from the Anfield during one last game for people to actually show their appreciation for them, it's sad that you don't get that. But an absolute legend, and gave everything to the club.
Kev,
Gav, sorry, can I cut in before you go to Kev? Sorry about this, Kev. I just, there's a comment there I just want to talk about. It's from Jono, and he's saying, Keith, can we stop with this? He wants a new challenge. That's bollocks. He would stay if he gave him a world contract. What challenge is it in joining Bayern Munich? Jono, Bayern Munich, one of the biggest clubs in world football, whether you like to admit it or not. Bayern Munich are looking for a new main man to replace Robert Lewandowski. Sadio Mane has an opportunity to go to one of the biggest clubs in the world and be the main man. That's the challenge. Whether he will win Bundesliga, the challenge is to try and win Champions Leagues. So, you know, we can spin this about the club not giving him a world contract. It's not that. He's going to a big, huge club. It's not like he's taking a huge step down. Right, Liverpool, the best club in the world with Man City at the moment, you can say. But Bayern Munich are now mugs. So I just wanted to, you know.
Well, before I come to Kev, right, when it comes to these contract things, people seem to talk with an awful lot of certainty when they're talking. And there's no certainty in it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Sadio Mane doesn't like Mo Salah, so he wants to leave. I'm not going to tell you that Sadio Mane was offered 400 grand a week by Liverpool, but he wants to go to Bayern Munich. And I'm not going to tell you that Liverpool, you know, basically just turned around and went, no, enough's enough, Sadio, we want you gone. Because nobody knows any of this. The only thing we do know is that and Klopp has said it. He said anybody with a year left on their deal has been offered a deal. The deals are on the table. That includes, I think, Keita, Firmino, Mane, Salah. They were the main four, right? We don't know what's going to happen with Salah's one. Keita's been rumoured that he will sign another deal. And when it comes to Mane, the only thing I've seen out of Bayern Munich is that they're offering him a colossal amount of money. Colossal. Somewhere north of 300 grand a week. Now, Sadio Mane may want to stay at Liverpool and he may go, but I just can't sign up for that. He may want a new challenge and the money is very appetizing and Bayern Munich are very appetizing as a club. You know, I've read somewhere that some of his family live in Germany, but I don't know how true that is. So we actually don't know. So all we can do is take it on face value. Sadio Mane is leaving the club. Okay. He's agreed to sign for Bayern Munich by all the looks of it, and the deal will probably be announced tomorrow or Tuesday, right? And all we can do is say how good Sadio Mane was for Liverpool. Now, I've said this before on Salah, and I've said it, well, particularly on Salah. Until we know the numbers, if Salah walks away at the end of this season, or the season, upcoming season, and let's say, for argument's sake, Salah is on 200 grand a week. I don't know exactly he's on. I don't look these fucking things up, right? But say he's on 200 grand a week, and it comes out at the end of the season that FSG have offered him 210 grand a week. You go, that's fucking ludicrous, right? But if it comes out that they've offered him 300 grand a week, okay, you kind of go, well, it's 300 fucking grand a week. And when you look at the bonuses that you have on top of them, although the bonuses aren't as big, I don't think, on these new contracts, you get more guaranteed money. But I think you can still earn around the same. It's just they are cutting or they are committing more money to your contract. So we don't actually know what's going on. And I keep saying it. Until somebody comes out and tells you the numbers, you cannot make an informed decision on it. You simply can't. And all I want to do here tonight is you might be happy that Sadio Mane is gone. And when I say happy, I mean, yeah, you know what? Fair enough. 6 years, he's being brilliant. He probably wants another challenge or, you know, he mightn't be offered the contract he wants, but let's just celebrate Sadio Mane. Let's not get into the politics of things that we haven't got a fucking clue about. Let's be honest. We do not have a clue about. And anybody that tells you they do is lying, right? Because the numbers aren't out there. And the numbers aren't out there on the Salah deal as much as people talk about it. They simply aren't out there. Kev.
Evening.
I believe he's the man that did the touch paper on Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool career. I think he's arguably the most important signing he's made. Arguably. When you look at what Klopp was looking for at that time, where he wanted to get Liverpool to, and how big a job Sadio Mane done in getting them there, and then in turn Salah and Van Dijk and Alisson and stuff like that. But overall, like, I think he's just been a joy to watch. I think he's brought us some of the best memories we've had as Liverpool fans, and I'm 40. I think he's brought us some of the best memories as a Liverpool fan going.
I mean, the first time I took notice of him was when he was at Southampton and he got that three-minute hat-trick. and it made me stand up. It was the end. It was towards the end of the season against Villa at home. It was a 6-1 win, and it was an early kickoff because I can remember being at home. It was a Saturday afternoon, and there was nothing else on. So I thought, look, these kind of games, Villa against Southampton against Villa, nothing on it. It could be one of those games. It could be an absolute belter. And then here he is, popping up in the middle, and he just goes bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, wow. And then I started, you know, I've seen him through the season, but he'd been scattergun. He'd been very hit and miss that season. He went about 4 months without scoring a goal. You know, it was very hit and miss. But then you start looking at him, and you see how quick he is, and you could see what we were missing. And I remember at the time when we signed him, he was the most expensive African player that we'd ever signed, or that in the history of football. And the amount of people online who were fuming, they were like, he's not worth this. Why aren't we signing X, Y, and Z player?
Mario Götze, wasn't it, that we were going for?
Yeah, but £34 million from Southampton. Here we go again, back to Southampton. What the hell are we doing? You know, we're signing all these players. And as it turns out, Klopp wanted him at Dortmund 2 years before, while Klopp was at Dortmund. And he met him. I was reading this. It was in an article in The Echo, if anyone wants to check it out. Klopp said he met him, baseball hat tipped to the side, gold streak down his hair, 22 years of age. He's like, I'm not able for this shit. I can sign one forward and it has to be the right one. I had a gut feeling and I just went in a different direction and didn't take him. And after a few months, he realized he got it so badly wrong. He said, if I get the chance to do this again, I'm definitely going to take it. Along comes Michael Edwards. Jürgen, we got a chance to sign this kid from Southampton's side at Sadio Mane. What do you think? Yes, please. And he arrives at the club. Lots of people weren't happy. And he scores on his debut against Arsenal in a 4-3 win. Crazy game. And it was a typical Sadio Mane goal where he chops onto his left foot and curls it around the keeper. And away we go. It's like, this is what we were missing. We were missing pace, and we were raw pace. And he was seriously rapid at that time. And as he evolved and as he developed, I think he's the most versatile of the forwards that we have at the club. He can do everything. I think he's slowed up in recent years. He's not as dynamic as he was. But he's given everything. I mean, I echo what the lads have said. I watched his 100-goal clip on YouTube. His 100 goals. He scores all kinds of goals. He's so strong in the air. He was never had a great leap on him, but positionally knew where to be. He had a nose that to be able to sniff space, and he had that one touch to make a yard and finish it in the corner. He loved finishing with his right foot into the far corner, high, low, didn't matter. He loved a chip shot. He never had a dead ball piece, you know, apart from when he was playing for Senegal, he took their penalties, missed a few, you know, as we saw against Chelsea. He's capable of missing them, but for me, he's been my favourite player. He's, of all the players that we've had at the club for the last 6 years, he's my favourite. I just want him. I want nothing but good things for him because of the human being that he is. You read the story about the mobile phone, you know, the rest of us, you know, I got my kids, my son was walking around with a cracked mobile phone and all these, like, Dad, I need a new phone. I can't get a new phone. This phone is this, that, and the other. He's walking around with a mobile phone. The amount of works he's done at home with hospitals and with kids, the stuff he did with Nivea. You remember that thing he did with Nivea with the kid? Yeah. I think
the flurry in Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they done that thing with him. And, you know, we're contracted with Nivea. The players commit to do this stuff. He followed that on and he did that goal celebration for that kid's for his granddad. He didn't have to do that. He remembered it in his head and he's, that's for Lee, that's for his granddad. He just thinks different. He is different. I think it's the way he was raised, the hardship that he went through, you know, everything in life that's put him into where he is now. He's just what a great footballer he is. He's a better human being. Yeah. I'm just going to miss him. I'm going to miss his smile. You know, his smile when he scores. his crazy celebrations, copying Bobby's celebration, the one hand over the eye, all that stuff. I was just going to miss the guy. The guy's just been, you know, he's just such a regular in the team sheet as well. He's always there. He rarely gets injured. Never had a big injury with us, and he was Mr. Consistent. He was always reliable. Emmett was saying there about, yeah, his goals came and went. You know, he was a bit iffy in front of goal for a while, inconsistent, you'd say, for a couple of years. Not with his effort. He put a shift every game. It wasn't a lack of effort that the goals dried up for him. It was just wouldn't go in for whatever reason.
He never stopped. And when he wasn't in great goal scoring form, he kept going. He always put the effort in. You could never say Sadio didn't work in a game. You could say, you know, he's missed a chance here or a bad pass there or his touch is off, but you would never turn around and throw it at him that he didn't try. Keith, you know, Kev's talking about there when, you know, Klopp talks to him when he's at Dortmund, you see him at Southampton, but where did he catch your eye? Because he catches my eye away at Chelsea playing for Southampton. I remember a pissing rain at Stamford Bridge. This is around, it's probably the year 15, 16, I think it's the year Leicester win the league, I think. And they play away at Chelsea, and I think they win the game 2-1. But Mane terrifies them, and off the left or right. And then what happens is Southampton end up sticking him up front for the last 15 while they try to hold out for a win, and he's just running. I think Terry is still at the club, he must have been, and he's running Chelsea all over the shop. And I went, well, he is a fucking player, this lad. You know, just the pace, the directness. Every time Southampton got the ball, he was an outlet. He was literally going, like, just put it in there and I'll go after. And he really caught my eye then. And, you know, I really wanted him at 30 million. He was close to signing for United, but he ends up signing for us. But where did he catch your eye? Because the hat-trick probably does, but it's the Chelsea away for me.
Yeah, the hat-trick is the one that really stands out. But, I mean, if you remember back then, Liverpool were doing a lot of business with Southampton, you know, and there was the running joke, you know, that we'd only signed from Southampton. And so whenever they had anybody with a bit of class about them, you'd were half thinking that Liverpool would be after him. So he was one that you'd always sort of keep your eye on Southampton and see what they have next. But he was always a player that looked dangerous. But when you're coming in from Salzburg, it was big money that he went to Southampton for, relatively. And he goes in there and you're thinking, he's very raw. Well, he is very raw. Can he do it in the Premier League? But even then you could see he was a fighter. Do you know what I mean? And he was a worker, even in Southampton. And, you know, it's one of the things really that caught my eye. I love players that'll dig in, forward players that dig in and scrap. Right, they have to have a bit of belt them as well, but I love the ones that really dig in and scrap. And that was what stood out for me again with Mane. And I can't remember what exact game it would have been, but that season at Southampton, because we'd be watching them, because we'd be sort of buying, doing our business with Southampton, and to be honest, because he was heavily linked with Manchester United, all that season. Yes. You're looking
was
and he's
in
a
that January going to United,
yeah,
and then it didn't really materialize. And then when it came to the summer, it was like, is he gone? But I think we signed him mid-late July that season.
But didn't he say that there was a deal in place? There was a deal in place with United for him, and it just never got over.
Supposedly he says there was a deal in place to go to United. He was, and then Klopp called, and he decided he was going to Liverpool.
But you're looking at a player, you know, he's on the radar of the big clubs. And back then, I mean, we go back 6 years ago, it wasn't a case like, why would he go to Manchester United over Liverpool, the way we had the same conversation about Darwin Nunes. It was the other way around, you know, like, why would he go to Liverpool? You know, United weren't that long from winning leagues, and we're always, you know, one manager away from getting back to the top again. So we got him, and it was, I wouldn't say a surprise. Yeah, it was a surprise because Kev touched on it there. You know, we were linked with others. We were linked with Mario Götze. That's who everybody wanted. And then Mane comes out of nowhere. And I remember at the time, people were sort of like, another Southampton, another fella off this. This fella doesn't even look that good. But if his first game sort of put that one in the bin, you know what I mean? Like,
is that the same summer Mkhitaryan goes to United? I think it is, because I think Mane is 30 million, and I think Mkhitaryan signs United at 34. And all the talk was that, oh, you know.
It was, because Mkhitaryan played against us, didn't he, for Dortmund in the Europa League that season. So, yeah, it's that 15, summer.
Yeah, so that summer he goes to United. We were linked with Mkhitaryan.
Yeah.
As well, and it didn't happen. He goes to United.
We were linked with Mkhitaryan before he went to Dortmund, wasn't it, from Shakhtar? Was it Shakhtar? Or?
Yeah,
I think it was.
Yeah, we were linked before that, correct. And he goes to Dortmund, and then what happens in that summer is United are heavily linked with Mane. Mane ends up going to Liverpool. They signed Mkhitaryan, and all the talk was, like, United have pulled the fast one on Liverpool here, because they've literally spent a couple of million more. I think it might be 34 for Mkhitaryan, but it was around the same ballpark. But the talk was United have pulled the fast one here because they could have got Mane. Liverpool have swooped in and overpaid for Mane, and Mkhitaryan is now a few quid more than Mane, and United have got the much better deal. And it couldn't have been.
It was seen that we were gazumped. Yeah, we were gazumped because we were linked with Mkhitaryan even at that stage, because he was
really highly rated at the time, wasn't he?
He was deadly. Mkhitaryan at Dortmund, he was brilliant, and he did play very well against us in the Europa League. And it was obviously a player that Klopp sort of had at Dortmund, but you know, again, it was just one of them that we didn't know then what we know now, that if the club are bringing in a player, you trust the club's judgment. Back then, there was no trust. Do you know what I mean? We were just off the back of the Brendan Rodgers experience, where, you know, the committee are recommending players, Rodgers is saying, no, we want this, and it was just an absolute shit. And it had its own name, you know what I mean? And it was just a big joke. But this was one that, obviously, they were coming up with this name. Klopp was happy with it because, as Kev said, he wanted him at Dortmund. And it just, from day one, you look at a player and I don't know, because I wasn't overly worried about him, to be totally honest with you. But fans that maybe were worried, you only had to look at that Arsenal match when he gets that goal. And it's like, okay, yeah, this is a player. This is the sort of player I can get behind, because he was great, you know what I mean? He was raw, but he was great. But he was a fighter, and that's what you want. That's, like I said, I can't say it enough. I love that type of player, and he just looked, as a right winger, he looked like this is the one. And we'll move on as his career goes on and talk about how he moved his positions. He could do it all, but it looked to me like, this was the one for us. And eventually, who had we signed before that? We'd signed Lovren, we'd signed Lallana,
Klein.
He'd signed Klein. And who?
Ricky Lambert.
So we'd signed these players from Southampton, and he was going to be, I had another one. You know, none of the boys, unfortunately, really lived up to it. Lallana was okay, but injuries killed him. Klein, yeah. But everyone thought this was another one. This is the next one from Southampton to really flop. Liverpool might as well buy Southampton the money they're giving them. But it wasn't. It was the first big Klopp signing. It was the first. I know we signed Matip that summer as well, didn't we? I think we signed Mane first, actually, didn't we? Matip was a free transfer.
Yeah, Wijnaldum definitely comes in that summer.
But these are the big pieces that are starting to get put into place. And it was a building block for what was to come. And I just think, you know, Sadio Mane, Kev touched on the mobile phone and the work he does back in Senegal. And it's something that a lot of, certainly the African players do. I mean, I remember Didier Drogba used to do it all the time as well when he was at Chelsea. In fairness, he pumped a load of money back into his village. But it shows an awful lot from a player, you know, that he doesn't, not that he's not selfish, but that he works hard, but he gives it back. And even from a football point of view, you know, he as Emmett said earlier, he went out on the pitch, he walked his bollocks off, and he left nothing out there. And what more can you ask for? I just think it was a sign from the start that, this is the rock and roll football, because he scores the goal against Arsenal, doesn't he? And Klopp gives him a jockey back. But Klopp tones it down after that, doesn't he? Like, Klopp is like, well, I can't do this anymore, because he got criticized. He was getting lashed out all the time for over-celebrating. And I think he'd said that somewhere, no, I'm going to cut it back. And then he done that, and he's like, no, we have to cut this.
I really will cut it back now, after he's like fucking parade Mane around the Emirates. It's a jockey back, mate.
There's so many moments, Gav. So many moments.
Well, that's what I want. Later on, we're going to go through a few, but I want people later on, not now because I'll lose them all, but later on, if people in the chat want to throw in their favourite Mane moments, it can be on, off the pitch, wherever you want, and we go through them and discuss them.
But not yet, remember that.
Not yet. Don't do it yet, because I'll try hold on to as many as I can, but leave it with me. Emma, when you look at Liverpool's 15, 16, you know, you have Coutinho, you have Firmino, you have Lallana. That was usually your front three. He uses Benteke a little bit for a while. I think he uses Benteke during the season. Ings is there. But there's no real electric pace. You know, Coutinho's a beautiful player. Firmino's the same. Lallana worked so hard. He was integral in the fourth season under Klopp. But there was nobody where you went, put it in behind the fullback. Now, I'm not talking like Jack Charlton fucking sort of football, you know, where you're just lumping him into space. But just that option where you could just, like that goal against Arsenal, where I think it's Lallana just clips one down the side as if to say, I can clip it in there now because someone will go after it. And it was a breath of fresh air, wasn't it? You know, he comes in, he's playing on the right, he's lightning fast, he's so enthusiastic, he's a really good technical footballer, he's an eye for goal, and let's get into it, because that goal against Arsenal, on the day Liverpool go 1-0 down, I think Walcott scores, if I remember, he has one disallowed, and then he scores soon after. Or no, he misses a penalty.
Free kick or something.
No, he misses a penalty, and then Moreno takes him down, he gets a penalty, he misses it. Then he scores, then Coutinho equalises, and then we go on a rampage then. Do you remember Coutinho scores, Mane scores, I think we're 4-1 up on one stage. I can't remember who got the other one. Might have been Lallana, I think, makes it 2-1. But from that day, Emmett, like, clip ball, tears, I think it's Callum Chambers apart, cuts inside, takes a touch, bends it around, check, top corner, and you're like, wow, we haven't seen this in a while. And it was just electrifying pace.
It's what he said there, it's the heavy metal football, because he came in with this, like a reputation for heavy metal football. And we probably hadn't seen it up until then. We'd seen, like, do you know what I mean, us, a lot of pressing and stuff like that. But then, like you said, when Mane picks up, like, he's breaking ankles all over the place. Not just in that game. Like, there's lads, he's turning lads inside out. And then for him to, like, we said earlier on, he scores all types of goals. And he sticks that one in with his left. But we see him in later years doing the exact same thing on the far side with his right. But I look back at videos the last few days and...
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers Ice Cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers Ice Cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Like, defenders didn't know what to do with Mane when he came running at them. Like, and he would absolutely rinse them, game in, game out. But I think that was the beginning of the, like you said, it was like kind of everybody, if they didn't like the Mane signing, they kind of, their ears pricked up a bit and thought, oh, so this is the way it's going to be now. And it was just so refreshing that it was a case that this fella's just literally going to turn defenders into knots and score all types of goals. Like, it was so, so refreshing. But yeah, lightning pace. And like, yeah, he probably slowed down in the last couple of years, but still, you don't want Sadio Mane.
So would you if you're running fucking that much for the last 6 years. Do you know what I mean?
But no, exactly. Yeah, no, 100%. But like, I don't know whether it's a case of him slowing down or like, it's, the unfortunate thing is, and the same thing's happened with Salah, and the same thing will happen. You've got maybe about 1-2 seasons where defenders and they can't figure you out, and then eventually the game is up, they probably double up on you on your side, etc., and you're kind of forced to nearly adapt what way you play. But nobody knew how to handle Sadio Mane. Nobody wanted him running straight at them, and that's just what he did. Like I said, with the videos, he was literally running straight through people, and his strength was another massive part of his game as well. Like, to be defenders swinging out of him, and he's holding the ball up and just turning them, and what else can you say about him? He's absolutely an amazing player and will be sadly missed.
Kev, you look at that season, and I think Liverpool are the top going into January, or they're fairly close to it. Goes off to the AFCON. Do you remember? If I remember right, and I'm going completely off memory here, by the way, because I had to look up what season that goal against Everton was. I couldn't believe it was 17-18, or yeah. It was 17-18. Because it doesn't feel like what I'm doing on 5 years ago or whatever. But Kev, it showed how important he was to us. And not how we tailored a game just to him, but what an impact he had. That, and if I remember right, that fourth season, I think we're close to the top of the league when he leaves for the AFCON. And he's gone for about 5 weeks, I think. You know, to build up the AFCON. I don't know how far they go, but I think he's gone for about 4 or 5 weeks. Could be 6 or 7 league games, wherever it might have been. And Liverpool aren't in good form when he leaves, or during that time. And we come back, we get Champions League football in 16-17. But straight away, Kev, we're in 4 months of him arriving. You just see how integral he is to this team. And he's literally, you know, even though Firmino was there, even though, you know, Coutinho was there, you know, you have really good players. Milner is there at that stage as well. You know, there's loads of players there that are establishing themselves, and they're still here now, like Henderson and stuff. Because Henderson's only recently taken over the captaincy in a year previous. But you see already how integral he is, Kev, how important he is, how different he is to what we have. And if you didn't know how important Sadio Mane was to Liverpool, or how important he was going to be, you got a taste of it. During that then months, you know, January into mid-February.
Well, you see, with that first season, 16-17, he had 27 Premier League appearances and 13 goals. Every other year after that, bar one, he was in the mid to high 30s. So that was the first season where he was away with AFCON that he missed a good chunk of games. And his goal tally was down because ordinarily he would have got into double figure, pushing 20 goals that first season, which would have been unheard of. And it would have made us qualifying for the Champions League an awful lot easier and maybe pushing higher up the table. But it wasn't surprising. It was the way, as that season panned out, he offered us something that we didn't have, as you said, that pace in behind, that directness, that ability to stretch sides. We were always compact and able to play through sides. The likes of Coutinho and Bobby were able to play intricate football. But having that option that you were hoping the Sturridge could always provide. But Daniel, you know, his body just let him down. But Sadio was, at 24 years of age, that ability to scare the living shit out of defenders. You know, Emmett was dead right. They didn't know what to do with him. They knew he was trouble at Southampton. But then you put him into a side with better players around him, and you had players who could find him. He was a completely different animal, and he only got better as he got older. You know, every year in, year out, he added to his game, be it right wing, left wing, and at the end through the middle. There was a constant evolution of how he played the game and how we didn't adapt to him, but he adapted to the way we evolved. Where in the past, when a player missed a chunk of time out, they fell behind and they couldn't adapt and catch up. He never had that issue. You know, he never had that problem. And that's because, look, he's a world-class player. You know, for £34 million at the time when we bought him, we bought one of the best African players to ever play the game. You know, and it was an absolute bargain at the end of it.
It is a bargain, and we've kind of more or less made our money back when you look at it. It's close to it. Darren Dunbar says he scores a brace against Spurs when he comes back from the AFCON. Is that the one where he gives Ben Davis an extra minute? Is it? Where he destroys Ben Davis twice and scores. Am I right? Is that the right one I'm thinking of? I think it is. And then he does a hamstring against Everton, and he's out for the rest of the season. But Liverpool still managed to get into the Champions League. Keith, 17-18 comes, and, you know, if you can think of any memories in 17-18, you bash them out there. I think 17-18 is the one where he scores at Everton in the 94th or 5th minute. Yeah. But at that summer, you see Salah come in. And then you're looking going, Salah, Firmino, Coutinho, Mane. The Fab Four, as they were known. They were trying to get them on the pitch together. They were like, it was all going off. The dream was Coutinho in a midfield three with Mane left, Salah right, and Firmino up front. And the thing was, after a year of tearing the place up on the right hand side, just goes left. No bother to him. I'll go left. Let Salah come in and play right. Because if you remember, Salah signs for Liverpool, and everyone thinks he's back up to these front three up front. And, you know, he takes the number 11 short. Firmino gives it to him and takes number 9. And everyone thought Salah would be a backup because Mane plays down the right and Salah does as well. So it was like he'd be Mane's understudy, you know. But Salah is just electric from day one. Mane goes out left and you see the evolution of him again. Can play right, no problem. But down the left, Keith, was just a different dimension to him because he could burn you on the outside. And this is where his technical play came in for me. He'd burn you on the outside if he wanted to. But he'd drift inside. He'd find the pass if he was drifting inside. He'd cross him was good off both feet. Shooting was good off both feet. You know, wasn't afraid to get physical. And that's where that's probably the season where you really see how good a footballer he is. Not just pace, Keith, how good a footballer Sadio Mane is.
Yeah, I agree. But that's the year that I think that Liverpool start to take shape because Robbo comes in that summer, doesn't he?
Yep.
Robbo comes in that summer. And Oxlade-Chamberlain comes in that summer as well. And he was brilliant that season as well, Oxlade-Chamberlain from midfield. So what we had was, we touched on it there, the heavy metal football. And Coutinho and Bobby at the time probably weren't playing it the season before with Mane. That season was absolute bleeding carnage because what Salah done was he comes in and he sort of blows the arse off the league, but it took so much pressure off Mane then as well. And Mane was able to just go over to the other side. You know, there was no, it was a big deal at the time that he was getting pushed out of the way. As you said, Salah was Mane's backup and all this sort of
shit. Turns out it was best position though.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He really flourishes when he goes over there. And, you know, the team got better. And Mane, as I said, he went from being the sort of the main attacker. As we said there, he got 13 goals the year before, misses a month of AFCON, then misses 10 games injured. So you knew what was sort of there and what was likely to happen. And going into that season, you're like, no, Mane is the main man, definitely the attacking threat. But the famous front three then come together. And from day one, Watford, isn't it, in the first game? Mm-hmm. And they all score. And
he scores a brilliant goal in that game.
Yeah, he always scores brilliant goals.
But plays a 1-2. Is it where Emre Can plays a 1-2 with?
Yeah, I think it is.
And he just right foot opens his body up, smacks her in the top corner. Salah scores. His goals
are outrageous. Goal.
Yeah,
but that's the start of it. I think, you know, that season, because I think Ox gets a lot of stick. You know, and look, he hasn't fulfilled the potential, the injuries, and it was the injury that season that Bladen really does from. But I thought he was brilliant that year, and it was another one that I remember we played City in the Champions League that, and we fucking destroyed them, and we destroyed them in the league. Remember, I was in space for a week, wasn't it?
4-3, we beat them at home in the league, don't we?
Yeah, but Ox is brilliant, Mane is brilliant, Salah is brilliant, Bobby is. It was like an attacking, like Coutinho was gone at that stage. And Oxlade-Chamberlain becomes part of that sort of midfield attack. And we were fucking brilliant. But Mane was allowed to be nearly the silent assassin of the team because Salah took all the attention and took all the heat, you know, and the media attention and the fan attention. But you're looking at what he's doing on the left-hand side and you're like, this fella hasn't dropped a beat since moving over there. Do you know? And some people can get their nose put out with joint. Mo Salah comes in, he takes Bobby's number, as you said. Well, Bobby gives up the number, but Sadio's moving his position. And you're like, I don't know about this. Is Mane going to be, you know, he's only in the door. Is this going to put him out of his nose out of joint? No such thing. He just gets down. As you said, I think he plays his best stuff. I don't know if I'm going to touch on it, but I'm going to touch on it now. His partnership with Andy Robertson was absolutely brilliant.
It was fucking outrageous.
Yeah, it's probably the best partnership of the Klopp era. And people say, well, Trent and Mo, yeah, I prefer the Robbo and the snoyiness.
There's more of a three-man set-up, I think, down the right, whereas these two boys will just let run free on the left.
Yeah, and there was a bit of menace about them and a bit of snide. Remember the World Club Championship?
Loads of snide, yeah.
One fella is kicking lumps, isn't he, out of Sadio, and they're going off the pitch, and Robbo's saying, yeah, don't worry about that. I'll have him when we get back out. Don't you worry about that. And then he kicks him up in the air. I just love that partnership that he had with Robertson on the left. It was all just hard work, and it was, I keep saying, helter-skelter. Do you know what I mean? It was just, teams did not know what to do. The other side obviously wasn't bad with Trent and Salah, but there was just something about it. Genie as well, actually, when he was playing on the left-hand side of that midfield, was brilliant in that as well. And
you just felt no matter what game you had with those two, no matter what type of game, they would flourish in it. If it was a mad kind of end-to-end game, you knew Robertson and Mane had the engine. If it was one where you were pinned back, you knew that the two boys would be well able for it. If it was one where you were absolutely lashing on the attack, they'd run rings around as many people as they could to help each other. No matter what. And then if it got physical, they would love it. You know, Mane is a dirty little fucker when he wants to be. Everyone loves that about him. You know, he leave an elbow in, he leave a shoulder in, he leaves a foot in. He's unfortunate for me to get sent off at Man City. I think that's...
Ederson Floyd's out and dips his head.
Is that 18-19?
No, that's...
I think that's
17-18. Is it that long ago?
It is.
Yeah. He's unlucky. I think he's looking at the ball. I think he's looking to take a ball down. But anyway, but they loved it. The both of them loved it. And like, Emma, I'll come to you because you have to remember, right? I think Liverpool played Bilbao in Dublin the week before that season starts, 17-18. Does Mane play that day? I can't remember. Loads of drink on board. But
surprising.
I think Robertson might play his first game and I loved him. But Coutinho, on the eve of the Watford game, decides his back is hurting, doesn't want to play, right? Doesn't make the move. He's in great form, Coutinho, till Christmas, and then he ends up going. But you're thinking, oh, okay, they've kind of switched Salah's in, Mane's over there, Coutinho, will he be able to walk? And the front three, in fairness to them, Emma, just step up and go, fuck him, right? And they just decide, right, us three will do it. And you have to give credit to all of them, but we're talking about Sadio Mane today. Took her in stride. And literally, and you see at the end of the season, he just goes and takes the number 10 jersey as well. Like, you know, give me the number 10. I'll be Liverpool's number 10. One of the biggest numbers at the club, probably the biggest one apart from 7. But again, Emmett, you can see him just progressing all the time. And for me, ends up the most rounded player at the club. But even that, in a second season, when all this is going on, he just takes it. Mane, Salah, Firmino take it and run with it at the end of the European Cup final.
It's a... I loved Coutinho as a player. I think everybody did. But when he started out in the maggot with the pain in the back and all of that, you're right, the lads did say, I thought we played a hell of a lot better when he didn't play. And the three of them literally took over, like you said fuck it. And the top bet of that season was all from three to score. I don't know how many games they did it in, but if you did it for every game, you'd be up rather than down if you were betting on that. But that was the full move then to the 4-3-3. But again, it was like assisting each other, scoring, all three scoring. If one of them didn't score, definitely assisted. And it was just like, I can remember thinking, like, I've never seen Liverpool play like this before. It's unbelievable. And it just kind of nearly swept everything in front of them aside. It was kind of, when he came in, he said, turn doubters to believers. You're probably still kind of doubting a little bit because of years of hurt. But it was kind of, I think it was the 17-18 season that we all kind of thought, no, this is happening. This is on. We're back to where we were 30 years ago. And an absolute joy to watch. Ran every defence in the league absolutely ragged. And all kind of played off each other. And they kind of, when I say play off each other, they fed off each other. Do you know what I mean? They were untouchable, absolutely untouchable. And Sadio, plays a massive big part of that. I never really, because he is so humble, we've spoken about him being so humble, the move across to the left people were worried. He just took it in his stride. And it was, look, you have to remember as well is that they didn't always stay in their positions. A lot of the time, the front three, like you'd see Mane would pop up on the right and sat on the left. You'd have Firmino on the left and Mane going through the middle. But yeah, it just caused all sorts of trouble to the defenders and no one knew how to deal with it.
That was the start of the corners, wasn't it? When a team, opposition team, would get a corner against
and
us,
we'd be going, we're
and they
score,
shit themselves. Because yeah. we were like laying a pack of wolves that, waiting for the knockdown because
didn't
we
that
knew.
Kick off,
we
didn't that kick off against back. Arsenal?
Arsenal, yeah.
Where
Arsenal,
is it Bellerin? Yeah. Bellerin just takes it. Was it Bellerin? I think takes too long. And Salah just nips in and runs the half the pitch and scores. And but, like that, yeah, you're right. When teams got a corner, was that the one where we do West Ham as well? In the kind of orange kits.
That was that season. The orange kits was 17-18, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a 17-18 where we break out against West Ham.
I thought that might have been
18-19. Yeah, that was
18-19.
Was it? Virgil. Okay. Virgil was
at the top. Was it?
Right, Emmett's internet is all over the fucking shop. I don't know. He must be on bleeding. He must
He's
be
on
Poundland stuff.
Internet.
He's on the Dicko internet today. But was it definitely 18-19? We do that to West Ham.
Yeah, the orange kits were after Virgil signed.
The orange kits were 17-18, and Virgil was there in 17-18. He comes into the January.
I'm nearly sure we beat West Ham 17-18. I think we break out. And Mane breaks out from a corner. I have visions of Lanzini taking a corner, and then Mane just tears through the middle with it and knocks it off to Salah, and he buries it. And Salah gets two in that game, 4-0. But I could be wrong.
Remember one quick break with Shaqiri putting a ball across.
That's later on. Yeah, but I'm
that was the
sure.
quick two big long passes and then the takedown.
I think Salah makes it 1-0 that game. I think Lanzini might get one back. But there's one there when Sadio then clips one to the back post to Salah and he takes it one touch and then buries it across the keeper. Yeah. And Ox gets one, I think, as well. But look, I'm nearly sure that was 17-18, but I could be wrong. But he scores a goal in the European Cup final. In 17-18, off a header from Lovren, and barring a goalkeeper that was concussed or whatever, you know, he could have won a European Cup in 17-18. But in 17-18 is also the goal away at Everton. And I always remember that when it came up, I think 8 minutes of injury time or whatever it was, and you could hear the whole of Goodison going, oh, for fuck's sake, because Liverpool were absolutely hammering on the door. And for the way it goes in, and it's a real striker's instinct. You know, Sturridge has a shoot, doesn't hit a great shot. I think your man's in goal. Is it Robles is in goal?
Robles is in goal.
And it goes, kind of dribbles past him, hits the post. But when you watch it back, Mane's 22 yards from goal when that ball gets struck. Yeah. And he's like an absolute fucking rat up a drain pipe getting to it. And he knocks it in. The place goes berserk. It's just before Christmas. Liverpool fans are having a fucking great time. There's flares on the pitch. And it'll probably go down as, like, we'll talk later, I suppose, about, you know, what's his best moment and stuff like that. But that might be it.
Burn. Not for me.
Well, not look, you me. Can pick your favourite moment at the end.
Yeah, but it's up there for sure. He's got so many iconic moments that, but yeah, that one is definitely one. I mean, just to pick up from what you guys were saying about Coutinho and all that with the Fab Four, I think when he left and we improved, we realised how good we could be when he was gone because he was such a defensive liability that we couldn't really secure enough clean sheets with him in the side playing the front three as well. And it wasn't until he left and we stiffened up and we gave license to the front three to say, go and win us games. And the three of them bought into it, a hook, line, and sinker. And like they were saying, they were assisting each other, scoring. They didn't give a shit. They just, winning games became an addiction for them. Scoring and assisting became an addiction.
And where Liverpool became more controlling in games, these three seemed to be like a club of 15, 16.
Yeah.
You know, where it was mental. It was just that portion of his team seemed to be just continue to be mental, while the rest of it became more functional and controlling.
They became so aggressive as well in their pressing. The longer they were together, they learned each other's trigger movements to a T. That it didn't matter who was in what spot in the pitch. Once one person went, everyone knew exactly how to funnel sides to where they wanted them to be to retrieve the ball and go again. And we saw it over and over, the quick breaks, the quick turnovers into goals, the amount of 1-2s and tap-ins that all three of them got from just the hard work off the ball. And you can't do that if all three don't buy in. And if one of them has a chip on their shoulder by being moved out of position, it doesn't work. So the idea that Sadio had his nose out of joint because he was asked to move and he was, right, you got to accommodate the new guy, it just didn't exist. You know, people tried to create division and rivalries within the squad that just weren't there. Because if they were there, we wouldn't have been as successful as we have been over the last 6 years. Mm. It just doesn't work. Not in modern day football, not at the level that we've been playing at, but the points totals and the finals that we've been appearing in. That doesn't work if everyone doesn't buy in. It just doesn't.
I'm looking here. It's actually the 20th December 2016 he scores the goal against Everton. I had it down to 17-18, but I don't fucking know. There's that many things going on. I'm literally walking off memory. But look, 18-19, I think it's his best season at Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, I think we win the European Cup. I don't think I know we win the European Cup. But we win that. We're a point off City in the league. We get 97 points. And I don't know if he wins. Like, I just think it's his best season at Liverpool, yeah. Keith. You know, you have got that boring goal in there, don't you? 18-19.
Yeah.
When he, I think it might have been Rob Gutman from the Anfield Raptors described it as ballet. Actual ballet. As words he used. But, man, he was so fucking good in 18-19, Keith. Like, he was just so fucking good.
Yeah, and that sort of, it's all about the evolution, isn't it, of the squad and the evolution of Jurgen Klopp and what he knew was happening with the squad and who we could rely on. So we go into 18-19, we get beaten in the Champions League final the year before, we make squad improvements, blah, blah, blah. That year, Klopp realises as well, look, draws aren't worth a shite now anymore. We have to just go for it now in the league. And we go for it and we get
97 points.
And it's not enough, but we win a Champions League as well. And, you know, Mane is at the heart. The Bayern Munich goal is an outrage. And I'd say it's going to top most people's goals for their favourite Sadio Mane goal. It's not mine, but it's certainly up there. And it, like, Virgil's pass is brilliant. He gets it into space, but Mane uses his body from the very start of it. Like, Mane uses his strength and his body to hold off the defender, spins it, goes around fucking Neuer. Neuer has a tendency to go walkabouts and anyway, but Mane knew, right, I'm going to get around him and just to clip it over into the finish. Everything about that goal is just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But at that stage, he is just everything about Liverpool. He's fighting in every game. You know, he's at his peak. And not only Bobby Firmino was absolutely sensational as well, and Mo, they're all, it's their second season together. They're really fine-tuned what they needed. We've also improved our goalkeeper that year, which is a big, big fucking, you know, big difference. Not having a dig at Cardius or Mignolet. But we knew when Alisson came in, as that season progressed, and Fab, we were playing higher up the pitch. We were compressing the press right up in the other end of the pitch. Keita comes in that summer as well, doesn't he? Yeah, Keita comes in. We signed him the year before and he comes in that summer.
Summer of 18.
And you just see then that the absolute, in my opinion, we pushed up so high that the press was just, they couldn't deliver it. And that's what Mane flourished under, you know what I mean? Like, the hard work, pressing, the Robertson combination, as I say, Naby Keita comes in and it's Keita then who's playing a lot on the left of the midfield three. Him and Keita seem to strike up a good partnership as well out there. And he's sensational that year. You know, I really think, you know, he gets some goals he gets a lot of goals. He always got a lot of goals. But some of the goals he was getting were just a player at the peak of his powers. And I think, yeah, that season, COVID sort of fucks him up a bit, doesn't it? I think the Mané pre-COVID and the Mané post-COVID are probably different. But, you know, that's players are older as well, I suppose. You can put it down to that. But I think, yeah, 18, 19 is probably the... Yeah, into the start of the next season, because the Villa game when we win the league is a big moment as well. But that year, I think, yeah, definitely his best season. He's driving us on, you know. He's putting us on his back nearly, and we've a team of stars at this stage. And he's the one that's got the fight, because you need someone. You can have all the best players in the world, and this is where over the years, like Arsenal always fell down, because they had all these teams that could play ball, but they didn't have a fighter. They still don't really have it. They never really got that sorted out. And Manchester United as well, look to buy superstars, but they don't buy players that have the onions that Sadio Mane had. But we had him. We had loads of them, but we had him. And he just carried the team. He pushed us through when we needed it. And he was just sensational that year. That to me is that was the peak. That was his Mount Rushmore season for us, where he just put his name up there in the pantheon of the legends. And yeah, great year for him. Great kits as well that year.
Great kits. And like, four cans were only a fiver them years.
Yeah,
before they brought
glory days.
Back in the glory days. Days, yeah.
And now they're selling 440 mil cans, four for £6, which is fucking ridiculous.
But I digress.
No, I'm not filling. I refuse to put a 440 mil can anywhere near me. I think it's fucking outrageous. But you were saying that's where he peaks. I don't know, peak's probably the wrong word. I think it all comes together. I think he now knows somewhere in his mind how important he is. I think he's fully aware of the responsibility he has to take for this team, which he does. I think he realises just how good he is and how dangerous he is. And not only how good he is and dangerous he is, but how good and dangerous others around him are, and how he can use that to his advantage. Because, you know, Salah quite rightly gets loads of plaudits and, you know, scores loads of goals and assists. But 18, 19 for me, every time he played, I just wanted to see if Mane was playing and who was he up against. Because I fancied him. Even if Salah had an off day, Firmino had an off day, you know, midfield was okay, but not really doing a lot, because it was a very functional midfield. Let's be honest, he didn't score loads of goals in midfield. It was all about wing backs and our front three. I always just watch for Sadio Mane. Who's he up against? What can we do to isolate him against this player? What can we do to give him a chance? And most times when you gave him a chance, he took it and he scored or he assisted. And we win the European Cup, and I remember in the European Cup final, you know, and I'm kind of skipping over the Bayern thing because I want to read out people's feelings on their favourite moments at the end. But the European Cup final, Liverpool are 1-0 up, ball comes into Mane, 20 yards in from the touchline, second half, takes a touch inside, goes by somebody, tried to bundle him off, can't do it. Another fella comes out and goes by him, then he just shifts it and puts it 20 yards in front of him, goes straight after, gets it. What's he do? Throws a dummy, throws a leg over, comes back inside. We end up with Milner having a shot that just goes wide. But that was all about Liverpool under a bit of pressure. What does Mane do? Takes it, doesn't lose it, commits players, bursts by them. And okay, Milner misses. But you can see Spurs going, all we need to do is commit one player in the wrong position here. And this fella will absolutely destroy us. You know what I mean? Kev, 18, 19, he comes away as European Cup winner.
Yeah,
he narrowly loses in the league, but even in the last day of the season, I think, doesn't he score last day of the season against Wolves?
Yeah, I think he does.
I think he might get two, actually.
Because he ended up with 22 goals, and it was joint top scorer with Salah and Aubameyang,
was it? Aubameyang. The place.
And he got African Player of the Year that year as well, which I think really boosted him. That he won it over Salah.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, there's bound to be rivalry without it being confrontational. The fact that he got that recognition that year, for the year that he put in, was only right and proper. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
It was his best season at the club.
Yeah.
Where
Kevin Ball says he does. He gets two. He does score twice in the last day of the season. Yeah. I'm in Liverpool for it, I think. Yeah, I am. He scores two to get to share the golden boot.
He's just different, you know, and that's what I think everyone loves about him. The fact that he never shied away from doing what was asked of him either. And that only showed more this season than any other. Is, by the way, we know you've done it down the right. We know you've done it down the left. Now we need you to do it through the middle. And he did it again. You know, and I mean, we'll talk about it later, but I don't know. I mean, this is the first year that we've had a serious conversation about him being involved in Ballon d'Or. You know, and I don't know if he might have one more year at being at this Ballon d'Or type level, and I think Bayern might get that out of him. But look, in that year, 18-19, he was arguably one of the best players in the world.
Yeah,
you know. If it wasn't for Messi, what the numbers that Messi was pulling up at Barcelona, then I think he would have been in the conversation for a Ballon d'Or that year as well.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, between him and Mo.
Before we go on, there's something in the chat there of Stephen Duffy. His mother isn't well. So I'm not going to go into any detail on it. Stephen Duffy knows where it is, and the people in the chat knows where it is. So I want to wish Stephen and his mother and his family all the best. I hope everything works out okay. And I hope you're okay with me saying that. Some teams would have looked at 18-19 and went, yeah, we won the European Cup, but like, we put so much into that league campaign, you know. And we go into 19-20, and you would forgive some of them for saying, do you know what, 97, can we go any higher than 97? Can we? Like, let's be honest, City are just a cheat. That's all they are. And I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks when I say that. They are. They're a cheat, and that's the end of it. You're up against a cheat code that are, for me, they're an insignificant entity, and would be, unless they didn't buy their way in, buy some sort of stature in the game. And Liverpool must look at it and think, geez, this league title, but you could be forgiven for saying, but we won the European Cup, but we try to defend that one. You know, see how the league goes, but the European Cup, we could defend it. But they come out in 19-20, and they take no shit from nobody. And they don't give a fuck who we are. And they are exquisite, to be perfectly honest with you, from start to finish. And, you know, I think it's hard to pick out a player in that season. Just one to put on a pedestal for 19-20. I think it's hard. You know, I look at all the players that played in there. I look at all the results we got. Mane definitely plays a part. Salah plays a part. Firmino plays a part. You know, Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum. Just name them all. Ring them all off, because they all play a part. But, like, he's part of a team that literally go, 97, we'll fucking show you. And it's just a mental strength, Keith, to come out and go, we'll go. We went there last season, but we just hit the turbo button now. And the one for me in that season is the Villa away one. He gets the assist for Robertson, I think.
Yeah.
With a left foot cross, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so from the right hand side, he puts it on his
comes
left.
Back, Robert puts on his left, Robertson scores, and then he scores the winner. And it's important because while we're losing, City are winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this is a big shift, and they're playing each other at Anfield the following week. And we turn it around. We end up 6 points clear of them, and we beat them the following week. We go 9 points clear. And that's a huge goal from Sadio Mane. And there's boots going in everywhere, and he just sticks his head in and scores. And, you know, the team deserved it. The club deserved it. But we're talking about Sadio Mane tonight.
Yeah.
On a Sadio Mane level, and you see him being interviewed at Anfield after we lift the trophy and stuff. I was delighted. When I think back, I'm delighted for him because, again, I always look at Sadio Mane and I think he's the man that started it all. For me, he's the man that started it all anyway.
Yeah, I agree. That Villa game, we spoke before, we spoke on this earlier as well, where, you know, you had to win games because City, the cheating bastards that they are, changed the game. You know, we're all old enough to remember, you know, the early years of the Premier League when you could lose six or seven games and you'd still be, you know, able to win the league. Now you can't draw five. Do you know what I mean? And it's the points are just like, now draws are as bad as defeats. Liverpool go into that season and it's absolute foot on the neck stuff. And they never let up. It's relentless. It's the most relentless. That half a season is the most relentless you'll ever see. Liverpool absolutely smashed the arse off the league that year.
Was it play 29-1-28, drew one?
Yeah, he drew against United, didn't they, early
yeah,
on?
Yeah, he drew against United in about the ninth game.
And every single thing that season, remember it was the World Club Cup is on, that's when they'll drop their points and they came back.
Sorry, it's Leicester. 28 drew one, 127, yeah. You said.
Do you remember we came back and Leicester were on the hunt, first, you know, the Foxes are hunting us down and we played them in Filbert Street or whatever the fuck that's called now.
It's not Filbert Street. It's the King Walker Power. It used to be the Walkers, the Cheese and Onion Stadium.
I was thinking of the Walkers. I forgot it was even the King Power, so we all just went with Filbert Street.
Yeah. But
in that game, that was like, that's when it all came together. That was just unbelievable. But it was
that's the best performance under Jurgen Klopp for me. The most complete performance under Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. I get Barcelona, yeah. I get all that, but the most complete performance for me is that one away.
Yeah. Barcelona was just sort of on a knife edge, wasn't it?
I know, but we literally arrived home from the Middle East that morning. Yeah. And we get a train out of Lime Street, right? And we go up to Leicester, and it's like, I think we're about bleeding. Are we 12 points clear of them or something at the time?
Yeah.
And it's like, but if they win, they get down to whatever it is, and they just go out and destroy them. Yeah. And
they were playing well at the time as well.
They were playing well, but you see in that game.
Good side at the time.
But they were second in the league. But the funny thing is, like, if you look at Trent's goal for that, right? Who's the fella in the middle of the park looking for the ball? Who's the fella that lets it run by him and turns around and drives with it late on? Mane.
Yeah.
Plays it to Trent. Trent buries it. It's a brilliant, brilliant goal. But just, Kev, it's a ridiculous season. Like, play 28, 127, drew one. No, you'll never see it again. And the funny thing is, right? Play 28, 127, drew one. And you have people trying to make an argument against this Liverpool side and the league they won. Did it matter?
Yeah.
Madness. They literally take the last seven games off and finish with 99 points.
They essentially won the league then, didn't they, at Christmas when they met Leicester?
Yeah, we got beaten by Watford in the 29th game of the season. And people are like, oh, and we're like, but you fuck off, we're miles ahead. You know?
I remember being in the chat at the time, and none of us would say it, that it was over, that it was done. We all might have subconsciously thought about it.
I think it's the United one a couple of weeks later that seals it.
Yeah,
that's when they start singing it. But I remember thinking at the Leicester game, I was in the pub that night and I ran home doing a pod with you, Gav. Could have been the Skype days back then. But you just felt that the team at that stage, every hurdle, they were overcoming every hurdle. And psychologically and mentally, when you get over them hurdles, they run out of excuses, and there was no way they were going to drop it.
Yeah, there was a lot of mental scars that everyone suffered for, you know, if anyone's going to find a way to balls this up, it'll be us. And I think the 97-point season put paid to that. But the fact that we went and did it again, after everything that we'd been through, just goes to show the mental strength, the character. And then the fact that they did it behind closed doors, where they didn't have the help from the fans. They didn't have, and you could see it in some of the players. And you watch the goal compilations, and you watch the goals during COVID, and you look back at it and you realize how fucking hard that must have been. Mm. You know, because even celebrating goals, there was
Liverpool could have not played after COVID, after we came back after COVID, and still won the league. Mm. That's how good they were.
The Salvation Army Thrift Store. We're not for profit. We're for appreciating the classics, for ever-growing amateur collections, for finding the sounds that speak to your soul. We're for making a difference right here in your community. At the Salvation Army Thrift Store, we're not for profit. We're for good. Shop today at the Salvation Army Thrift Store near you.
But it was just the fact that when they did it, when we came back and we won it, it was the manner of that season. I wish we'd have got the 100 points. We deserve to get the 100 points. That's the sickener for me.
Yeah, but Kev, I always think of it as played 31, 99 points, 7 points on the lash, or 7 games on the lash. And I'm, do you know what? That sits okay with me. Because if people go, oh, Liverpool never done 100. Yeah, but Liverpool were on the piss for 7 games. No other team has ever been on the piss for 7 games. Do you know what I mean?
No one in the modern era has walked.
We'd have done 108, in my opinion. Yeah, I always think
if the intensity was there and they had to really push.
If City had kept going, I think Liverpool would have done 108 easy. And they were a 108-point team, in my opinion, in 1920. So that means they would have dropped 6 points that season.
That's scary, isn't it? It's, you look back at that, it is crazy. And we all talked last season about how the squad is the best squad we've had. Mm. That performance for the season that we won the league. I don't think you'll ever see that again because of the way football is going into the future.
Mm.
And that's not going to be the fault of any one club. Because I think there will be great sides down the years that will do great things. I think just the way the football in general is going, I don't think that will happen again.
I think Chelsea have done 100, and I think City have done 100.
Chelsea haven't done 100. City are the only ones that have done 100.
I thought Chelsea done 100.
No, Chelsea only done 90.
No, I think Chelsea went very close to 100.
They didn't. City are the only teams to do 100.
I thought Chelsea did. But anyway, they might have done 98 or something, right? But I always had in my head Chelsea done 100 points. Anyway, I think that's one of the most comprehensive league wins you've ever seen. And Sadio Mane is involved in it. Sadio Mane, like, a crucial point in it. Sadio Mane has a say. You know, that Villa game away, he has a say. There's games throughout that, he has a say. You know, is it 18-19 where he backheels?
95 is Chelsea's highest points.
Is it 95? Okay, I don't know why I had Chelsea in my head at doing 100. Is it 18-19 where he backheels are over Ben Foster for the crack against Watford? Do you remember?
That's my favourite one of the whole lot.
That was outrageous, just the audacity, and it wasn't a fluke because he did it into the ground.
Oh yeah, he 100% did.
He did it into the ground to get it over Foster.
Or Alisson wants to know how much of you had to drink. I've only had 2 cans.
No, that wasn't 8. I'm looking at it here, so it's the...
And it was 1920,
wasn't it? No, it's New Balance. It's 17-18.
Is it? Oh, it's okay. That far back. I think, and you know what? People slag and go, why can't you remember this? So much has happened in the last 6 years, that actually putting it together and remembering games, I think is really difficult. If you go before the Klopp era, and you
say 18-19, it could be 18-19.
I think it might be.
Yeah, we won the Champions League. Yeah,
yeah. Just says Liverpool 18-20, 196 points out of 228 in the Champions League, which is ridiculous. Arlaz says it was 18-19, where he back. Backheels it.
The fact that you did that.
Why did I have Chelsea up higher than 95?
Don't know.
Ah, someone was just telling me that one day, and I believe
was that the Ancelotti Chelsea?
Yeah, it was.
That's the best Chelsea side.
That's the best Chelsea side of all time. Yeah.
I think it's a better side than 2004, 5, 5, 6. The Ancelotti Chelsea in 2010, I think it might have been, was ridiculous. Red Steve reckons it's 2 cans of those 440 mil. If someone brought a 440 mil can into my house, he'd be asked to leave immediately. So there you go. Feb 2019 is when he scores that back heel. But there again, it's just so much has happened. But if you go before the Klopp era and you say to me, do you remember that game? Bam, 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 and I go, yeah, we've done this, we scored that. Who scored this, how the goals were. Klopp's years just seem to mould into one because we just seem to do so much shit against so many teams. You know, we've battered Watford how many times, Leicester, whatever it is. I think it's hard. But look, we win the title. We have to do it behind closed doors. We have to celebrate behind closed doors. And the year COVID comes in, I think Mane suffered badly with COVID. I think it's quite It's out there that he's suffered badly after. You know, 2021 is one of those seasons where I just think it's one you not that you write it off, because you know we still get Champions League, and it pushes us on to what we've done since. But I want to go on to Sadio's best moments. I think it's only fair to do it an hour and 20 minutes in. You know, last season, he's okay for me. And then he decides he's playing centre forward. And he just decides he's going to be the best centre forward around. And he was absolutely brilliant. And Keith, before we go on to the best moments, just a word on him in the final season, because Diaz comes in, we're playing him on the fly, and he's really good. Jota's lost a little bit of form. Salah's out of form a little bit. Mane is huge for us, Keith, going and doing 92 points. And as well-rounded as he was in probably 18, 19, where you'd probably think it's his best season and you see the evolution of him, he just adds another string to his bow where he goes, I'll just go front. I'll play centre-forward. It's no problem to me. And we've always spoke about when Salah gets on in age, will he go into the centre? Sadio Mane looks to me like a proper fucking number nine at this stage, Keith. And it's only a credit to him.
I really does. And, you know, again, I said it earlier, there's been times when he puts us on his back and runs with it. And last season was one of them, because Mo Salah in the first half of the season, absolutely phenomenal. Now, Mane is good as well. He misses it. There's games when he misses fucking 15 chances and all that. We know there's been times when he's been a bit.
What's your favourite game? What's your favourite game for Sadio Mane missing loads of chances?
The Leeds one, when everyone lost their shit and he was bleeding, having, and he scores in it and all, doesn't he? But he scores at the end. About bleeding.
My favourite is Napoli in the Champions League. Do you remember the Alisson hit save?
Yeah.
But Mane has about 14 chances to just decide I'm not scoring. We've just loads have a 1-0 here, lads.
But, you know, there's a lot to be said for a player that keeps going. Do you know what I mean? 100%. And doesn't let it. You know, so centre-forwards over the years, you see a centre-forward that misses chances and they crumble and they carry that forward with the man. You know, has him to deal with. He just shook it off. But something that he does as well, Salah comes back from the AFCON and he's fucking broken, man, in my opinion. But Mane is the king, because Mane wins the AFCON. Mane basically knows, I'm the African footballer of the year. He knows he has a case to be the Ballon d'Or, because whether you like it, these things. And even though it's AFCON, it's still an international trophy, so it helps his case. So he comes back and it's like, right, Luis Diaz comes in, electrifying on the left-hand side. There is an opportunity to play Mane through the middle, and he just takes it with both hands, because like we keep saying, we've said it from the start, he's a fighter, he's a scrapper, he's a grafter, and I see the rest of his career will be in that centre-forward position, because he used to have the move, didn't he, where he'd come up on the left, he'd stand up the defender, and he'd shake his foot. They didn't know which way he was going, and he was going by them with that burst of pace. He doesn't have that burst of pace really anymore, but he could get it back, you know. But the transition that he's made into being a central striker, I just think he's absolutely brilliant. Something wrong with my sound. Don't worry about it.
It's okay.
But he's just being absolutely brilliant that he's able to change and not just fit in, you know, not to be carried. Every time he's changed, he's improved. But, you know, that's just the story of Mane. And something as well, Laura Duffy said it in the chat earlier on about Mane going to Bayern Munich. It'll be less taxing on his body playing in the Bundesliga. Do you know, he'll win titles and he won't be under that pressure, and they'll have a winter break, and well, next year, fucking all over the shop. And anyway, but
the winter breaks,
he will have,
fucking first week of September or something.
Yeah. but he will get a lot more. It won't be as heavy on his body. Do you know what I mean? And I just think he will extend his career by going to Bayern Munich, and look, fair play to him. You know what I mean? I think he's been a great player for us, but there's so many moments. He's fucking brilliant.
We get on to the moments in a minute, but just on him as a centre forward, like, I think you're right. I think the blistering pace is gone. But I think he had great pace when he played at Wolves for Liverpool, but his movement was brilliant.
Yeah.
That out-to-in run that he timed perfect, where he didn't have to use bags of pace. He was just so good at it, where he just drifted, gone. And the defender was like, where the fuck has he gone? And before he realised it, he's gone across him. He's in goal. And I think if you go back to the 2 week scores against Spurs in his fourth season when he comes back from the AFCON, I'm nearly sure it's Ben Davis. He's now at centre half for Spurs, isn't he? But he's playing left back and he just rips him because he's getting inside him all the time. But now you look at it and I go, I still think he has enough pace to run off the back of defenders. Right? Not stand them up and go at them like an out and out winger. But I think he has enough pace to run off the back of defenders.
Yeah.
I think he's
centre backs especially.
Yeah, I think he's good enough in the air. I think he's a good enough finisher. I think he's physical and strong enough. And you know what? I'm not happy to see him leave Liverpool overall, but it'll probably make me watch a bit of Bayern Munich just to see how he's getting on, because I like to follow Liverpool players when they leave Liverpool to see how they get on, especially ones that leave on good terms, you know. And I'll definitely with Sadio Mane. Kev,
the thing is, going to Bayern Munich, there's only 18 teams in the Bundesliga and one domestic club, and the senior players don't get involved in the German Cup until the later rounds. Hmm. So everything will be about the league, and there's only probably six teams in it that will give Bayern a solid game. You know, the rest of them are shit scared of him. So I honestly think he could go to Munich and set the Bundesliga alight, at least for 1 year, maybe two. You know, he's not too old. We've seen it with Ribery and Robin when they went to Germany and they really kicked on. There's some other strikers that have gone to Germany later in their career and exploded and they've reinvented themselves. So I think he's going to, next year, if the Bayern play him through the middle, like I think they will, with Muslera around him, with Thomas Müller around him, I think they're going to be a great sight to watch. And it's guaranteed, nailed on, the way the football gods work, we will draw Bayern
in the group stages.
We will get them some point next season, nailed on.
Yeah.
You know, and it was understood, we were talking about it earlier, it was a shame that Sadio didn't get his send off. I think this deal has been in the pipeline for a while, and if he was precious about him being a star, he would have made it known that this was his last appearance at Anfield. It never got out, and that says everything about him. You know, everything was about the Champions League final. No distractions away from the Champions League final. Yeah, he gave that interview, but, you know, the game at Anfield had gone by then. It was all about the Champions League final for him. You know, and I'm sure down the road he will come back to Anfield and he'll get a great reception when he comes back.
Favourite moments? Because we're an hour and a half in, and so it's
wait till we do the Bobby Firmino one, leading 3 hour job, that one.
Yeah, but your favourite moments, like, I'm not going to say anything. Keith,
your favourite moments. Sorry, Keith, go ahead.
My favourite moments, my favourite goal of Sadio's is the Watford back heel, because the same, I love goals that are not, you know, just an instinctive or a volley. There's a certain amount of luck and a smack from leading 20 yards or whatever and things like that. I love goals that there's a bit of something special about them. And that back heel that he scores against Ben Foster, and I know he thinks he was probably offside at the time, but the fact that he back heels it into the ground to lift it over him, it's just execution is absolutely brilliant on that goal. And that's the one that always stands out for me as a goal for Sadio. The Bayern Munich one is more iconic, we know that. He has scored the Arsenal goal, iconic. But for me, the best goal that he has scored was the back heel against Watford. Sadio Mane as a human being, forget about him as a footballer. We wax lyrical about him as a footballer. As a human being, he's just an absolutely top fella. And, you know, we'll remember Sadio the player, we'll remember all the goals, we'll remember the versatility, we'll remember the work rate, but we'll also remember that he was a good egg, you know, and there's a lot to be said for that, because there's not many of them in football, according to, you know, fans. You know, we see the bad side of a lot of footballers, and I think we're saying goodbye to Sadio Mane, because let's be honest, we all know he's going to be leaving and it'll be announced soon. We're saying goodbye to a great a great fella and a great player. And I just think, as a humble fella, the amount of work he does off the pitch is as important as what he does on the pitch. And, you know, there's no one single memory other than that goal that I'd have up there, but just all around good egg.
Kev, favourite moments on off the pitch, wherever you want.
For me, there's a couple of goals. The Bayern Munich goal for me was just outstanding. Yeah. Because of the context of the game, the fact that we had a 0-0 at Anfield and we had to go over there and get a win. And everything about that goal was just sublime, you know. And the nous to be able to stop, turn and chip was great. There was another one against City on his left foot. It was just on the edge of the box. And he just stood
that's
up.
That's 4-3 game.
He just swatted it into the top corner. Absolute, have that, you ain't stopping it. And that was a great, great goal. And there was one this season, I think, just gone. It was a bicycle kick. And it was the most weird looking finish you've ever seen in your life. But just the thought process to even attempt it, it was just pure him. You know, there's some great goals, you know, the ones that he scored in the air. For someone as short as he was, I still believe he didn't have a great leap, but he had a great ability to be in the right place at the right time and brave. But off the pitch, the story with Genie and the iPhone, you know, the humility, the fact that he kept his private life private, and he never ever once mixed the two. You'd never see or hear anything bad about him in the press. And the awareness that other players had around him when they were celebrating goals, that they kept alcohol away from him, that it's just a respect thing, you know. And I think he's one of the main reasons for a lot more tolerance has come into the fan base because of him and Salah. And it's only because of the characters that they are. Great human beings.
I love the shift hit that when he gets taken off against Burnley and the lads are having a fucking great laugh at that. And he's fuming.
Yeah.
And the boys are laughing, breaking their bollocks laughing at him. Because he doesn't know he's a winner. Like.
But the big thing that comes out after is that he walks into the dressing room and the lads literally say to him, give her over. And he just gives her over. He's like, that's a bit fucking ridiculous. Whereas some players go, no, I'll stand up. You know, they double down, stand up for themselves, not giving an inch, but Mane is laughing. And that's famously where the Firmino side eye comes from, isn't it? When he's walking up the tunnel at Turf Moor. There's so many for me. The winner away at Villa is huge. It literally stops the season dead in its tracks for me. Because Liverpool stay 6 points clear of City, go 9 points clear of them the following week by beating them, and nobody looks back after that. I think it's 18-19 when Klopp decides to take the piss with the Derby lineup at Anfield, and Mane hits an unbelievable pass to Origi for the fourth goal. He dissects Everton for one of the goals for Shaqiri. He scores one himself. In the first half, he was absolutely outrageous. Like, it was ridiculous. He's brilliant against Barca because he's the main man. You know, we've no Firmino, we've no Salah. He's up front with Origi and Shaqiri, and he's brilliant. Doesn't score or assist, I don't think. But he's just so fucking good.
Because he has that threat, as we spoke about. Barca knew, right, we can commit. We're probably not worried about Origi and we're probably not worried about Shaqiri, but we're fucking worried about Sadio Mane, so we can't commit to him much, and that's what he gave you.
Mm. The start of 2019-20, he's at the AFCON again, isn't he? And he turns up in Liverpool about a day before we play Norwich. I'm at that game because I remember him coming off the bench going, what the fuck's he doing coming off the bench? We're 4-1 up, comes on, runs around like a lunatic. The thing that he does with Nivea is absolutely brilliant. It's with Tim O'Tierney. You'd hear him the other time on the Anfield Rap. He does a lot of work down at the Flurry in Liverpool. Guitar lessons, food runs, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, it's a brilliant, brilliant video. If you don't get a chance, go and watch it. It's one of the best videos you'll see. But like Kev said earlier, he asked this guy what his celebration is, and he tells him, and he does it. I think he might do it away at Palace or something like that in the next game. And if I remember right, he scores. And you know what? Just the goals are brilliant. The assists are brilliant. the celebrations with Bobby when he's copying them. He scores away at Southampton, doesn't he? Early on in the season, one of the seasons, and he does that whole thing where he does what Bobby does and kind of like a matador in front of Southampton fans, and one of them give out. They're like, that's just Sadio Mane. But my God, like 270 games and 150, I think it's 158 goal involvements. It's very, very, it's brilliant. And like every other player that got Liverpool their fourth league title in 30 years, he's won a European Cup, FA Cup, League Cup, World Cup, Super Cup. He's
AFCON at the time while he was there.
AFCON, African Player of the Year. You know, when you look at Didier Drogba is celebrated as an absolute hero in African football. Mane will go down as the same for me because of what he's won, where he's won it, and the way he's carried himself. I think he's been absolutely excellent. So, there's just so many moments.
I don't like the narrative that's being painted that Liverpool fans don't appreciate him. I mean, any Liverpool fan I know loves Sadio Mane. My outfit hates him, but apart from that.
You know. I can tell you that, and I keep going back to it, when Liverpool played, he was one of the... He was definitely in the top two players I would look for to make sure they're on the pitch.
Yeah.
Just because of the impact he can have and his intelligence to adapt to games regardless of what games we're in. And he's fairly clutch when it comes to taking chances and making chances. And you know what? The argument about him staying at Liverpool, why he didn't, it's for another day. Tonight is about, you know, talking about Sadio Mane, celebrating Sadio Mane, and just telling, he's not going to watch, I don't think, but telling Sadio Mane that he is a Liverpool legend. He'll never be forgotten, I don't think, by Liverpool fans of this generation anyway. And possibly ones for the generations when they go back and watch him. And I'm telling my son about Liverpool in 2017, 18, 19, 20. He'll never be forgotten because I think I genuinely, and I keep saying it, he's the man that lit the touch paper for me. He's the signing that changes everything. And he just progresses and has impact and becomes, for me, probably the most rounded footballer of the club. And I wish him all the best at Bayern Munich, apart from when he plays us in Europe, because it's nailed on. But I just think he's an absolute... he's just fucking brilliant. There's no other word for it. I'm trying to find words. But
he's truly world class. It's a term that gets thrown around an awful lot. It's world class label. He's one of probably a dozen truly world class players that are out there in the game at the minute, and he's up there in an argument for the top three world footballer players in the world right now. You know, that on merit, on form, on the pitch, can do everything. You know, he's one of those rare breeds of forwards that can do it all. You know, there's not many. You know, an awful lot of centre forwards have weaknesses in their game. They can't do certain things. They don't like certain ways of playing. He doesn't. He can do everything. You know, and the forwards that are coming in have got big shoes to fill. You know, he's so consistent. He's so reliable, dependable. He's always available. You know, that's half the battle, plus his effort on the pitch and his goals and assist return. You know, Diaz and Darwin have big shoes to fill. Mm. You know, I hope they can do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only hope going forward.
And I'm sure it's when he signs for Bayern, you'll probably hear more information around the Liverpool contract. You might hear some more about the feeling within the club. You might hear a bit more from the feeling from Mane. And that's like I said, that's a discussion for another day when you have probably more information on it. But I was going to talk about Calvin Ramsey signing, but I think we leave it for tomorrow night. We've winners and losers tomorrow night. And there's not much going on in the world, so we probably just have a big chat about football tomorrow, depending on who's on. But we'll definitely welcome Calvin Ramsey to Liverpool Football Club. It's a good sign. I'm excited to see him playing, and we'll have a bigger look at him tomorrow night. And we go and we look up some stuff on him, and we bring it to you tomorrow night. Kev, anything else before we go?
No, nothing for me. Just the Felicon stuff. I think you're over the 7.5K now, yeah?
I'm waiting on some stuff to come in that might bring us close to 8, actually.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's fantastic. But now it's going to be, we don't know what's going to come this week now, because if you believe the club, we're done. I don't believe the club for a second. But it's going to be interesting the rest of the window, because you look at the players that we brought in, a 22-year-old and two teenagers. You know, that's proper future-proofing. But I don't think we're done. But there's some other clubs out there that need to get a wriggle on.
I think we're done unless we move some players out.
Yeah, I agree.
Without going into the midfield fucking debate.
No.
Because I've seen people absolutely having meltdowns on Twitter today.
Trying to
tag this podcast in it, which was amusing. And people I've never met telling me I'm a grade A wanker, which was deadly.
They must know, yeah.
They must. Are you talking about me? Look, come here.
There's only 25 players in the squad.
I said I think if Ox goes, I think you need to sign a midfielder. I think you need numbers. But you can't just keep signing players and hoping to do that. It's 4D chess, as the kids say nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you don't want to show your hand too early. And I agree with you, Kev. I don't think they're really done the transfer market. I think if nothing moved within the squad, I think they might be done. But any sort of movement within that squad now, I think you might see something come in anyway. And the movement within the squad, obviously, if players going out, but
for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think.
I think that's the one that kind of
cough like a bit, I think.
Emma Cavanagh says the Telegram was tasty today. Yeah, the Telegram group was really good. Our Allison says you are a grade A wanker, Gav.
No, says you're our grade A wanker.
You are our grade A wanker. Well, fair enough, you still call me a grade A wanker. And it's not that mind that, you know. But not mind. Let's meet up for a point and see how we feel after. Twitter had a meltdown. I'm shocked, says Laura Duffy. Yeah. G10 says Ramsey is a top class signing, in fairness. We'll talk about him a bit more tomorrow night. Felicon, link in the description. It's there to find out about them. The second link is to donate. If you can donate, great. If you can't, send it amongst friends, family and stuff, because we might get the $8,000 by the end of this week. If the donations, I think, that are coming in do come in, I think we'll go over $8,000. So it literally leave us less than $2,000 to go, which is great. But look, it's one of those, we're going to keep going. We get the $10,000 anyway. And if that means that we raise a fiver a day for fucking, I don't know, how many days would that take? We will. We'll just keep going like that. Yeah. Keith, anything else before we go?
Very quickly, right. A friend of mine who listens to the show all the time, doesn't listen live. He catches it back. His father took very unwell over the weekend. So I just want to say, he's not a Liverpool fan, the father. He's a Celtic fan. So just want to stay, get well soon. Jimmy the Bear, hail, hail. And hopefully they have a bit of good news coming their way soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. We wish them all the best and hope everything works out. And I'm sure you'll update us, Keith, in the next couple of days about that. That's been the Fat Pack 4. We've kept you for an hour and 40 odd minutes, but Sadio Mane deserved an hour and 40 minutes, let's be fair. Rest of the week, winners and losers tomorrow. Haven't a clue what we're going to do with that, by the way. There will be a transfer show on Tuesday, of course, covering Liverpool and all other clubs that we can find stuff out about. No transfer knowledge, it's called, so don't come in looking for, like, We know what we're talking
about. Scoops.
Or scoops. Yeah.
the only scoop we have is cans.
Yeah. That'll be Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to do a quiz. I'm promising you a quiz Wednesday. Thursday, viewer's voice. The viewer's voice was meant to happen last Thursday. The lads were lined up to do it. It was my fault. Something came up on my end that I just could not get away from. So that was my fault. But it will be coming on this Thursday. Sports Unplugged is coming on Friday. And then we'll be back on the Fat Pack 4 on Sunday. So make sure, I don't know, subscribe if you want. The rumour going around now is that YouTube are removing subscribers and all sorts of messing. But if you subscribe and you hit notifications, all notifications, and you should be all right then. So we'll see how it goes. That's it. Talk to you in a bit. Have a good one. Over now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.